At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 5 of the Nerd Bash Podcast!
Yes! I like how it's called Nerd Badge Cut Podcast, but like you just sounded like the guy from Dude, Where's My Car, Nerd Bashin' Time, Stoner Bashin' Time.
Yeah, like, Nerd, that's a good movie. Nerd Bashin' Time. Ladies and gentlemen, I am surrounded by some of the most beautiful women that Sentinel Island ever has to offer. You know two of them, but we're going to introduce you to one.
Maybe, we slipped them a 20.
maybe somebody will come here later. Hopefully she makes it, because apparently the old Surprise Express train caught somebody by surprise. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, she's hostage.
Starting off tonight, you may notice he's not here today because he's on special assignment. RJ is watching the Ghostbusters movie. He's actually doing that whole thing tonight, so he couldn't make it today. So unfortunately, he's not here, but fortunately, we have somebody stepping up to be the co-host.
Wait, his assignment is to watch the Ghostbusters movie?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that a punishment?
It's
a reward.
It's basically like the reason why he couldn't make it today, so I just made it to a special assignment because it's my show.
I mean, it is a nerdy thing to do.
Exactly.
Though,
so
if he was out like saving puppies,
on location,
I'd be like, what a dick.
So tonight, special co-host, ladies and gentlemen, Mandy.
I am Roberto's replacement.
Mandy, I wish you had your Ken shirt on. I didn't know you were going to be here.
You could have wore that. You could have wore that. It's technically not logos. So
why?
It's
technically a name?
Exactly. It's a name. Who are we talking about? Ken Masters from Street Fighter? Who knows? So
Kenny G.
To her right, ladies and gentlemen, an actress. She signed. She got an agent. We talked about this. We're going to talk about it again.
Oh, wow.
Actually, in more depth. Ladies and gentlemen, Susie Zeiger.
Don't forget us peasants when you become famous.
Yeah, I know. Also,
you're all coming with me.
Somebody I've been dying to have on the show. If you remember episode 1, she couldn't make it because she was in Philly having a good time. She's a comedian.
Oh, no.
Comedianess.
Yes.
She is a ball of a good time. She's a good friend of mine.
I'm a court jester.
The Cortez Justice, if you would. Ladies and gentlemen, comedy icon. She's performed at Gotham. She's performed at The Cellar. She's performed at Caroline's. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend, Pauline.
Hi, guys. Hello. Hello. Lovely to be here.
Yes. We're going to have a lot of different topics today, so I just want everyone to understand, like, it's going to be a really good show today, because I'm really happy about these topics that we're going to talk about.
It's the first day of spring.
I know, it's the first day of spring, and we're going to spring right into these topics. So, also today, we're going to do a very rare interview, because my wife is going to be up here, because one of the topics actually encompasses one of her loves as well, too. We're going to be talking later on about escape rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gabby married you, and then now her favorite thing is an escape room?
Yes. She's practicing one day. She's practicing one day to leave me. Mm. Susie, talk it to your mic. Move your mic in more. You can move it. There you go. Move it up a little bit more, because there you go.
That's your chin's got to touch it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
All right, now this is sounding like commentary for like adult film.
Exactly. Put your chin on it. Also a film I started in my troubled youth.
Look at this mustache. At least the mustache transfers to multiple genres. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
perfect. Why is it so stiff?
Gel. Gel and happiness. It keeps it going.
That's what I said. Okay.
So let's break into our first topic of the night. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the broad scope of movies. So what I want people to kind of know about the show is that we talk about all things that we find passionate about. Like, I love talking about movies. I can talk about them for a really long time. And I think everyone else here can. So,
Tom Hardy.
Exactly.
You ruined it.
He's my favorite.
Literally, the words out of my mouth is like, I can sit down and watch and have you watch anything with Tom Hardy in it, and you're just going to be like a child watching bright
colors.
Oh,
no, not a child, a woman.
Exactly.
don't ruin
Starts as a child, ends as a woman.
He's my favorite, too.
Tell me about movies that you have seen recently and movies that you're looking forward to coming out.
So, I haven't had Wi-Fi in God knows how long.
Very Jesus promising. Christ. Very promising. You sound
ladies and gentlemen,
Ukraine over here.
War-torn Ukraine actually does have Wi-Fi. That's actually
well,
a thing.
You know what?
Yeah, the Putin, he blew us up, and I saw that on the YouTube.
Zelensky is an actor himself.
Yeah. Comedian.
Yeah, comedian.
Yes, he is.
So I've been stealing movies from, like, you know, picking up garbage.
Oh, my God.
And he's been bringing movies to me,
that's
too.
Very,
That's romantic.
That's, no, that's very communist your, of you.
DJ
that's,
in the back,
I
by the way.
That.
DJ in the back. I forgot to mention him. He's over there. Yeah. So, what's it called? It's pretty funny. It's funny you say that. What was the last movie that you watched, that you guys watched together?
The Last Castle? What was it? We watched Black Dahlia.
Black Dahlia.
Which I did not finish.
Oh, that's
so you
one.
Don't know how it ends.
I don't ruin it, but it was really good.
That was a good
far.
Movie.
Black Dahlia. What else? Was
Last Castle was probably.
Last Castle was good.
Last Castle was good. That was the one with Robert Redford, when he's the general and he was a prisoner in jail, and what's it called? Tony Soprano. Tony Soprano was the prison guard. The end of that movie was really kind of crazy, actually. If you ever gonna watch it, it's a great movie. It's from like the mid-2000s, no, late '90s, I think. Actually,
yeah, a lot of '90s movies. Dumb and Dumber. Early, we watched Dumb and Dumber recently too.
I can watch that movie all day. Yeah.
I watched The Manchurian Candidate because I'm trying to predict my future.
And your future is bright because you know why?
So that's why
that's why you're wearing shades.
Yes. Well, that's because so they can't see my eyes, because if they could see my pupils, then they can reprogram me. Like I have
exactly. We're on to them. We're on to those.
That's it. I want to be Liev Schreiber.
Oh, my God. So what movie are you guys looking forward to recently coming out?
Deadpool and Wolverine.
I think that, man, that's such a good movie.
Does that have a release?
We talked about it a little bit in episode 2, I believe.
Is there a release date?
Yes, it's
next year.
It's like next year. It's like July of next year, I believe. I could be wrong, but I know it's 2025. I think it's going to be a summer blockbuster. I think it's going to be in July, and I feel like the way everyone's talking about it, like it's here. You know what I mean?
Trailers.
I blame you, Blake Lively. Stop having sex with Ryan Reynolds. Let that man work.
Yes, let Ryan Reynolds do his magic.
I need this movie.
I remember when the first movie came out, Deadpool.
Yeah.
I watched it back to back twice in a row. Like the
so
next,
good.
Very next, because it was so funny. I was like, I'm going to watch it again.
True story. You know, in an original Deadpool movie, that Ajax is actually, it almost happens like verbatim from the comics, actually. That's what I really liked about it. Like
Ajax is a villain from the comics.
Yes.
Right?
He's a very small time villain.
Is he also annoying, like a Francis British guy?
Kind of. He's more of like he kind of reminds me of Bane. That's the best way to describe it.
Don't insult me. You mean like he has a silly voice that no one took him seriously?
No, you never really hear his voice, but he's just kind of an idiot. Not even an idiot. He's just he's like a villain. He's like a douche.
No, like he's a fuckboy, but he's a villain in a movie. It's very weird.
He was in a lot of movies. He's a good actor. I can't remember his name. I feel bad.
We don't remember names here,
and I'm sorry.
But we remember their talent.
Exactly. So. The talent that will always live for us for the ends of our days. So he was a really good actor, and he was in a lot of good movies and a lot of bad guy roles, which I really appreciate his work in these movies.
I feel like that's like a nice level of fame to be at. Like he's like a C level.
Exactly.
I'd say
B, honest B.
BC, like my cup size.
Yeah, exactly.
If those are Bs, I have fur on.
I was gonna say those are capital Bs.
I lost weight for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
So moving on, Susie. What movie have you watched recently?
So I have been on a documentary binge and like a classic like stoner binge. Like I watched Grandma's Boy.
That's
I watched Half
movie.
Baked Stable. Again.
Those are great movies.
I watched Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express.
Oh, classic.
Classic.
Team Amber Heard,
so,
by the way.
You know what my favorite thing about Pineapple Express was? When they redid it in The World's End. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They literally like just started, was like, I got the props from Pineapple Express, and they start reshooting it all over again. I think that was perfect.
I love when actors do that shit. Like that's the level of like fuck you money I want to get to.
Absolutely.
Where, like, where you just like do projects and then like you just cosplay your own shit in front of people, because why not?
And the best part was that like they actually just used their real names. They didn't play characters or anything
right,
like
right,
that.
Right, right.
Jonah Hill was my favorite character. He's like, really, Dave? Really? Is it really that compelling? They're trying to exercise him and everything like that.
Wasn't Michael Cera like a prima donna dickhead?
Yeah, he was like, I'm Michael Cera. What's going on? That's my Michael Cera impression. Like, hi, I'm Michael Cera. What's going on?
Well, what's funny?
He got killed by the pole.
Channing Tatum was a gimp, though.
There's a story behind that. Did you ever hear this?
No.
All right, so Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum were doing 21 Jump Street. So what happened was that apparently Channing Tatum was such a jerk off to Jonah Hill, all his friends in this movie found out about it. And they were like, yo, that's not right. He shouldn't treat you like that.
That doesn't seem right because Jonah Hill's reportedly the dick in Hollywood. Like, yeah. Channing Tatum is supposedly like a Labrador Retriever. But go on.
Yeah. So this is what happens. Apparently, he was making fun of his weight the entire time, right? Oh. Like, he's like, oh, you're fat, okay. Blah, blah, blah. Because he started, like, remember he got, like, really skinny
yes.
and then he got, like,
and then
he started coming back.
Yeah.
And then apparently, Channing Tatum was like, he was in between that time frame of when they were shooting this movie. Yes. So Channing Tatum was making fun of his weight and Jonah Hill got pissed off about it. He told his friends, and they're like, yo, let's call him up and try and get him in the movie and fuck with him. So what they do is they call him up like, hey, man, Channing Tatum, we'd love to have you in this movie. We're doing what's it called? This great movie. It's called The World's End. It's about the apocalypse. We're going to have a really great role for you. He goes, oh, awesome. That's great. And then they made him freaking Danny McBride's bitch.
He seemed to enjoy it, though.
Yeah, but like he was probably like, oh, this is going to be really fun. Like, I feel like they lured him in with like a certain thing. And like, all right, we're going to shoot this scene first, and then we'll shoot like the part where you like, your actual acting part later, and it never happens.
I'd love to see like what the ploy was, like what they told him he was going to be, because I guarantee you if he was given that option and then told, oh, by the way, but you're actually going to be a gimp, like he would just be like, oh, this is so much better. And then like he gets all for it.
I'm down with this. It's like yeah. He suggested it, but like, yo, guys, tie me up in leather.
What? Yeah, that's it. He wants the ball gag. Fine.
Now watch this dance move.
So, movie you're expecting to come out that you want to see.
Well, I definitely want to see Ghostbusters, but Beetlejuice 2 is like comes out on like September 6th or something.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla X, is it?
Godzilla and Kong. X is always supposed to be in a team up between the two people.
I cannot wait. Yeah.
It's Godzilla and Kong, you said?
Yeah, Godzilla and Kong.
Godzilla and Kong.
I love how he has the Infinity Gauntlet. I think I told this about before. Like, Kong has I feel like he got, like, his hand broken by the other Kong, and now he has to wear, like, this thing. So, that was pretty cool.
I'm
waiting for Space Godzilla. I am literally hoping that it's Space Godzilla that comes out.
Godzilla movie, these ones, they seem like they're, like, purely CGI movies. Like,
I'm okay with that.
I mean, not that I expect, like, okay, they didn't harm a real Godzilla in the process, but like,
I like pizza. If my pizza is made up of 100% pizza, I'm okay with that.
That's
okay,
fine. You know what?
Yeah.
One movie that I saw come and go in the wind, and I don't even know if anybody saw it, was the Bob Marley movie.
I didn't get a chance to watch that.
It looked like it was one of those movies that like they made, and then they're like, "Now we're not letting them get to see too much of this."
Yeah, like, exactly. It's like this became a little too real.
Who stars Bob Marley?
He's one of the Kens. He's actually he's the gay Ken from the Barbie movie, who like the light skinned black guy. He's so handsome.
In the Bob Marley look, he's so fucking handsome.
Really?
Also, he is in Marvel's Secret Invasion. He plays the character that's supposed to be Super Skrull. His actual name, I can't remember his Skrull name, but he's in that too. And you see him, he has short hair and everything. Good, great actor. Again, I don't know his name, but he's an amazing actor in everything that he does. So we talked about a movie that you are watching that we'll go backwards.
I want to see, yeah. And then something that I did see that I was actually surprised by was the Taylor Swift Eras Tour.
Like, really?
They did a Taylor's version of it, and then there's one that was released in theaters, and it's actually super impressive, the way that, like, her, like, it's almost like watching that Shen Yun, that, like, Asian, like, that thing, like her production is, like, a whole, and she takes you through all the different songs, and I'm like, oh, shit, like, she's actually the princess of the universe right now, and we need to just bow at this point. Like, I was not a Swiftie, and now I'm just like, okay.
I love Taylor Swift. I don't give a damn what anybody says. Yeah. I remember when Taylor Swift did that song with T-Pain, and she came out like all rapping and everything like that. I was like, that is glorious.
I don't remember that. That's so funny.
Yeah. It was a great thing. It's like, she's like, T-Swizzy. It was, if you get a chance, Google Taylor Swift, T-Pain, and you'll have a ball watching that.
Obviously, she's killing it. But then also, she's the one that actually got the law passed against the AI porn.
Because, oh, that's right.
Because there were too many AI basement dwellers making AI porn of her, so she got it.
Of her?
No, not just her.
And other celebrities.
Other people,
this is what happens, right? You put into like this like generator of like these celebrities, right? And it was like random porn positions, you know? So what happened was that these people would put these people's faces on it, and then it trickled down like celebrities. But unfortunately, it trickled down to actual people in actual life, and then they would put it online. Hmm. So if grandma, who has no clue about what AI is, right. they see their daughter,
yeah, absolutely.
They see their granddaughter's face, people were losing jobs, were getting in trouble. Like it was,
but that's also psychologically damaging for like teenage girls in school and everything.
Yeah, because
like,
now that's
how
exactly
would you
what
go,
it
how
was
would you go back to school, and then also it can cause, you know, division between people that don't believe it's just AI. Like now people are thinking people are cheating, you know.
And this time it was people who thought it was good. And now there was a YouTuber or some sort of streamer that was doing this behind the scenes. But
off
what happened?
With their head.
But basically, what he did was he was like showing people something on his computer, but he had it in the background of another streamer. And this woman, like, it was like she saw it and it was like, oh my God, that's my face on her supposed friend's thing on the background of one of his monitors. He tried turning it off really quick, but it was still out there. And everyone's like, oh, look, he has her doing porn. And people, I believe the consensus was people were understanding that she was doing porn with him. And he was like, oh, crap. And he had to explain what happened. He tried apologizing, but he got, like, completely, utterly canceled into the Stone Age.
How do you even explain that? They're like, what was your agenda? None of that, like,
to masturbate,
like, oh,
I'm pretty sure, but it's not the right way of doing
porn
it, you know?
The porn thing. Don't get caught in my porn thing. Like, what?
Yeah.
Well, I think it actually started, if you remember, you know the NPC girl, Pinky Doll? Do you know
Yeah.
Well, I think it actually started
with her. That was the first person. Now, she was
the one that does the, like, the yum yum, like,
yum,
give me
ice cream.
Yum, 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 yum. And then people were doing that with her face, and then it just, it got out there. It wasn't just, like, three or four people getting out there.
It's
exactly.
Just, it's just watching society devolve. Like, exactly. It's very interesting. Like, idiocracy became a thing.
Exactly. And when we honestly believe that if you're one of those people that do that, you need to seek psychological help because that is not right. So please don't do that.
If you're high and you think it's funny for like 14 seconds, that's fine. But
So on to the next topic. So we got movies out of the way. Something that I'm really happy about because we all watched it, I believe. Everybody watched it. X-Men 97.
I failed. Sorry.
Oh, man.
I don't have any streaming services, but I heard it was, I hear it's very good. I had people
so
report back
good.
To me that it's good. Is it, what style of animation
it's
is
just,
it?
It's in a Marvel animation, but it kind of keeps sake to the old animation because the thing about the show was that people don't realize there's two things very important about that show. One, I believe there's still a lawsuit going on about the theme song.
What?
Yeah, because apparently, like, back in the 90s, they stole the theme from, like, some artist or something like that. I think it was some, like, out-of-country thing. I think it was Norway or something like that, or Finland or Germany. And they took a song from some TV show, and then they just remade it into, like, the X-Men theme. So I think that lawsuit is
like
still...
like, remixed it but kept too much of the structure?
Yes.
Okay.
So they basically made that into a lawsuit, and I still think, I could be wrong, that it's still going on to this day. There was two different styles of animation because the first style of animation was the first initial run, but then a company bought it and then sold it, and then there was a whole big transition period, and they had to change the animation again. So, well, for the first time. So they changed the animation, and it lasted maybe about like another two seasons maybe or something like that. So this is like its own style of animation, but it kind of mimics it at the same time, which is beautiful. And the new theme song is, it's just like it. I don't know how they're getting away with that, whatever the lawsuit may be. But the show is absolutely amazing. One thing I want to say is everyone was complaining that it's woke, it's this. Listen,
I hate the word woke. Anybody who says the word woke, just please get a UTI.
Exactly. It's like nails on the back of a chalkboard, but the chalkboard is like my most sensitive part of my penis. Like, it is horrifying. Like, I hate people. Oh, it's woke.
What was so woke? And it's like, oh, there was like an assistant principal that was Chinese. Like,
yeah.
Like,
you mean Chinese people are real, bro? I hate to tell you.
Yeah,
hi, Mandy.
Mandy's family is way too big, and they're not happy about it.
I talked about this on the show before. Where we have like the sorry for ethically identifying you there, Mandy. I apologize.
Oh, we couldn't tell. Yeah. We couldn't tell on the TV screen.
Like, what's the matter, Mandy?
We thought she was British.
I thought the lights were on too bright, Mandy. I apologize.
It's fine. I look Nigerian.
I love you all.
So here's what happens. There is a certain aspect of wokeness, which I've talked about this on the show before. If this is your first time tuning in, I just want to address this. The whole ginger to black people thing, I am not a fan of it. And
wait,
I'm not
what?
Saying it.
Explain.
All right, so what happens is...
you're going to have to get a little more specific. I'm dyslexic.
They take characters that are ginger, right? Like Jimmy Olsen from Superman,
never
and they
mind.
Make them black.
Never
like
mind.
The Little Mermaid.
No, because if you take the word ginger and you rearrange it...
You listen.
Okay.
Yeah, and you rearrange it, you get a bad word.
You get, yeah, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Oh.
Yeah. So it's like a running joke, and I hate it.
It's a weird coincidence.
It's a weird coincidence. There's people making jokes at people's race, and if you do that, I hate you.
Yeah.
That's why. All right? I think if you want, obviously, we're not going to sit there and tell freaking George Washington was a black man, because obviously we can't get away with that, you know? But at the same time, there's certain things that I don't care about a person's character as long as the story's being told well. That's it.
Right.
Disney sucks.
Oh, you're going to tell me, like, somebody that can turn into water, like, God forbid they're French. Like.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, there's certain things, like, I mean, listen, everyone is representation. Like, you have to, if people say, well, how am I going to explain this to my kids and all this other stuff? It's like, you're a parent.
You don't.
You have to explain murder to your children
one
day.
You don't even do your homework with your kids.
Exactly. Like, you say to go like this, yeah, Dave, what's it called? Yeah, that's the answer right there. You're doing good, kid. Yeah, okay, whatever, you know? But, like, listen, if you're a bad parent, you say you're a bad parent, okay? You're going to have to explain the world to your kids, okay? You have to explain to...
You can't explain subtraction.
Exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just shut up and just let your kids understand what... And obviously, there's certain ages, I would say.
So this version of X-Men
It's literally talking about... People were like, oh, this is woke and this... Because they say that Morph is non-binary. Here's the thing. There's actually...
But they morph into things.
Like, no.
They don't fit into a binary.
Exactly, but here's the thing. But Morph in the comics, right? There's two different versions of, well, three different versions of Morph. There's the old school 70s comic where there was a character, I can't remember exact name, but he looks exactly like Morph in the old 90s television show. But now that's what everyone knew as Morph. Morph was like killed off in the first episode. He comes back at the end of the series. Now the problem is that in the comics, there's a different version of Morph. He's a more jacked, cape-wearing dude, and he actually has the same exact powers. But it's a different person, because Professor X makes this guy go crazy with his powers, and it's a whole complex story.
Professor X getting in people's heads.
Exactly. So what happens is that now... This Morph is from the Age of Apocalypse. There's a series that happened where imagine if Apocalypse won in the future, and that's what happens. That Morph is... White face, bald head, no character for features on his face. Mm-hmm. He's just a blank face. Get it? Morph. He can turn to anything. Right. So it's a blank slate. Now, the problem is they brought that version into the 97 version. So now people are saying, hey, he's non-binary. And for that, you're stupid. Okay? That's people doing people shit, and that really gets me annoyed, because you're it's like, imagine going to a birthday party and going like, oh, what's this stupid balloons and everything all over the wall for? I came here to hang out with you.
Oh, there's cake. I didn't expect
why
are
so many kids here? Like, what is this
why
crap?
Why are presents?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't jump into a conversation or something that people actually want to see and then say, I don't like it. This has to change. Sit outside. Wait for everyone to have fun. Wait outside for everyone to be done having fun. And then that's it, okay? Because it's not as bad as it... As, there are some things that they touch on January 6th, which is something that kind of surprised me. Because at one point... You saw the episode, right? They touch on January 6th, and I think it was beautifully done.
Wait, that's actually very funny.
Yeah. So
did the mutants, like, do nothing?
No, basically, like... I don't want to give it away for people who haven't seen it, but there's an incident where a bunch of mutant-hating scumbags basically break into, like, the Senate and try and stop... Magneto.
Oh, like the pro, okay.
Exactly. So they mimicked the January 6th, which honestly, it was well done because it showed the bad people, and I don't care who you say, the second you turn against the government in that way, I'm personally not for it. I think that's hallowed ground. A lot of people who stood there before us made this country safe, and that's that. So to disrespect that, I think that's a bad thing. I think that's in bad taste. The people who did that.
Isn't like Lincoln's, like, he sits in the giant chair over there.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's Lincoln's memorial. That's really a memorial, but that's a different thing.
Put
respect
on his name.
So X-Men 97 has been a great show. They touched.
When did sleep?
I could talk to Susie about this now because she watched it, unlike some people here.
Listen, I have to ask, though, is it called X-Men 97 because it's reminiscent of 1997 style
when the show
animation,
got canceled.
Like the morning,
when the show got canceled.
The Saturday morning cartoons.
Exactly. It ran from 94 to 97.
So this could heal, like, a lot of millennials.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
I think we need to
it's
do
It's so
this.
Good.
I actually found it, like, pretty emotional.
It was. Especially, I don't want to give it away, but what happens with that one character when they get shot and then all the purple, I was like, that was intense.
Is Jean Grey with Wolverine or with Cyclops?
Well, we're going to talk about that. Here's the thing. At the end of the episode ends with a very big... Because they add the first two episodes, and they talk about a very big cliffhanger that I called from the beginning. Like, before the show even happened.
How many episodes are in a season?
They said, no.
Well, right now there's two.
Right now there's two that's out. They released the first two, and there's another eight coming.
Oh,
every each week.
They're just dribbling them in our face.
I love that. Listen, you can sit there and say, I like watching everything in one quick run.
So you're not, you don't prefer to binge and like, you'd rather the periodical.
If it's new. If it's new, I won't binge it.
Okay.
Because I believe new things should always come out. Weekly, episodically.
I like the weekly because it gives a chance to do what you're doing right now.
Exactly. And not even that. It also, it does, you have a, how should I say this, mental wear down from watching something so long. You miss the little intricacies.
You don't
get on your phone.
You don't appreciate the details.
Exactly.
And the plot twist.
You watching something for 3-4 hours, I can do that in a movie. But with certain shows, there's so many things going on and they leave you with cliffhangers. A movie builds one big thing. If I give you 5 or 6 different little things, that's okay. But 9 things?
I love the concept of like how people, like there's always someone that's going to rush to be the spoiler.
Oh my God.
For the sake
of
it. I know. And then they're the dickhead, right? They're like a hall monitor. But then it is just funny for people to argue online and be like, oh man, you shouldn't have told me. No. Like, you shouldn't have told me. And it's like, all right, like kids are dying. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Well, I will say, and I won't talk about like what the spoilers are, but I felt like the ending of the second episode had
beautiful.
A lot of spoilers.
It did.
About
because
things coming up.
I don't want to give it away because some people haven't watched it yet. And again, on this show, I am not a spoiler guy. But there's certain things that happened that I called. If you look back in our previous post on the YouTube page, I'm sorry, on the Facebook page, you'll see that like I'm if RJ was here, RJ would be just, you know, I was right about that. And I make predictions based on things that I know from experience, from reading comics in the past and where things want to go. So I feel like I was dead on about this. So tune in and you might able to say,
spoiler
hey.
Alert, they all have special powers.
Yeah. spoiler alert, they all have hands.
Spoiler alert, Wolverine has claws.
Oh, come on. Dude. All right, so on to our next topic before
wait,
we go
wait,
to
one
our
last question about Wolverine, because, all right, so Wolverine is Hugh Jackman in the movies and everything. Who is tall? And he I feel like he embodies the role so perfectly, but,
he
like, was
though.
He supposed to be a short little hairy dude?
Yes.
Who do you
he's
think should have played him?
He's 5'5".
Like, Danny DeVito? Like, who should be him?
No way.
So, what's back then, movie? back in like, what was it, 99 when the movie came out? Like, it was very controversial that he was like 6 foot tall and everyone just went.
He's like 6'4". Like,
yeah,
he's really tall. He's a lean man.
Yeah.
Like,
so if you notice, he doesn't really stand next to a lot of people in the movies because
he's always
so much taller.
Yeah, he's always
brooding. Yeah, it's a camera shot thing. And if he did, he kind of like did the whole entire like spread foot thing. So he's like, doo, 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 you know? So.
They were going to give it to Taron Egerton. He was.
That is the most, that was exactly what I said. He was the most perfect guy to play Wolverine. And I think it was a good idea. I don't know if they're going with it down the road. I think I have a theory about the whole Deadpool movie. We'll talk about that in another episode because we got a year before that movie comes out. The next thing I want to talk about is, since your friend obviously couldn't make it today, unfortunately, because the Staten Island Railway kidnapped her.
So, yeah, shout out to Marlena's Monica McMahon Perk. She comes from Chelsea, Manhattan, and she accidentally didn't realize that Staten Island has express trains during rush hour. So she came to here and then got thrown into the Xanax land.
Here's my stop. So going forward, I want to talk about something because you two are here. I can at least bring this up. Acting gigs. Pauline, you're a comedian. Susie, you're an actress. And also, people don't realize this, you do improv.
I do. 10 decades now I've studied improv.
You started back in San Diego, I believe, right?
I did, yeah.
Where did you start?
So I started, I always wanted to do comedy. And one of my friends was like, oh, you need to take an improv class. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, no way.
This was in LA?
No, this was in San Diego.
Oh, San Diego.
Yeah, although I did perform a little bit in LA. One day just decided, you know what, I'm going to do a drop-in improv class. And I loved it.
It's so hard.
I loved it.
Were you a theater kid? Were you a theater kid?
I was such a fest.
I was just saying you have theater kid energy, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I was in all the Christmas shows and all the.
What do you remember as your first real gig after getting out of improv school?
I also want to say that after improv school, I actually took clown school. Actual clown school. I graduated and got my red nose.
That's awesome.
You get a red nose and you graduate.
Did you drive the car?
I didn't drive the car.
I want to know how big the car
is. It was actually such a good class because it teaches you how to entertain without using your voice. So it teaches you how to tell a story with your body.
Good.
Body language, absolutely.
So it was like really, really great. I like made out with a chair. It was really exciting.
That is very thespian.
We gotta get the chair on the show.
But
What does it know?
I named him Tom.
Yeah, dude, she sat in my lap for like that long, bro.
Don't let it wait 7 years and then come out with its side of the story.
Exactly. Dark side of the Susie.
But my first show, which is really funny, I was in a Christmas show. And I played a polar bear named Paula Escobar because I was a drug smuggling polar bear that smuggled mistletoe.
Did you smuggle that white?
I smuggled that green.
Ah.
I smuggled mistletoe because.
Oh, I didn't know that was not a controlled substance.
Well, it is in the North Pole.
Okay.
Reindeer get high is off that shit.
So, yeah, and like Santa was cheating on Miss Claus, and it was like this whole thing, and then we had to like improv a song, using Santa baby music.
Okay.
It was amazing, and I was so nervous, and it was one of the best things ever. And I took improv like really seriously.
What was your first real gig out of the gate from improv school?
I was actually on a kid's Spanish, a Spanish kid's YouTube show with So
the Russian speaking American was on a Spanish television show.
Yes, and the word the word of the day was ejercicio.
Exercise.
Ooh. Yes, she speaks Spanish. It was a kid's show with a puppet.
Okay.
And so this puppet does a weekly show where he talks about a different word of the day. And the word of the day I had was ejercicio. So we did, I had to do a whole acting gig with him where he was teaching me Spanish. And we jogged together and everything. But the guy that ran the puppet was so great.
Yeah.
He was so great. And then I wound up doing puppet.
You learned cardio from a puppet?
I did.
Yeah, I love it.
And then I started doing puppet theater. And then I did a little bit of puppet, like, theater and voiceover at the Marie Puppet Hitchcock Theater in San Diego.
Cool. Oh, wow.
So I did a lot of, like, and then I did musical improv, which I loved. I can't sing. I couldn't carry a tune if it had handles on it. But
I forget that puppets exist out there.
Like, I know. They're out there doing their thing.
Yeah. They exist heavily.
Yes.
And that they're honored by people.
But then I did musical improv. I couldn't carry a tune if it had handles on it. I sing terribly. But in improv, it's not about singing well. It's about making up a good song. So it turns out I was pretty good at that, and I really, really loved that.
Good. Pauline.
Yes.
How should I say this? Comedy. I know we used to do the open mics together at the Beautiful Hashtag. That's where I first met you.
Yes.
And you convinced me. I just came to hang out and everything like that, and you convinced me actually to get up on stage.
Yeah,
and
because you have the cartoonish personality.
I do.
Yeah.
Waka waka.
And you have the history on the mic with the wrestling, so it's not too far-fetched.
Yeah. It was a beautiful time, the Hashtag Bar. In case people don't realize, it was about 10, 12 years ago?
That was about 9 years ago, 8, 9 years. Starting in 2014 is when I stepped in.
2014, yes,
yeah. It peaked in like all through 2015 into early 2016, and then other sagas went down. Yeah. But that was, it was a good little era.
So were you doing stand-up around that time, or were you doing,
yes.
What was your first, how did you get into stand-up?
Okay,
what was
so
your first,
first,
tell me your first gig.
Like my first gig was actually surprisingly large because there was it was like a one night out for hunger fundraiser at St. John's in Queens.
Okay.
So there was a pre-booked open mic. Like, not anybody can get on stage. You had to, like, sign up. Or
how long ago was that? How long ago?
2013.
Okay, so
that was my first gig on stage.
So
yeah.
Where did you get into comedy from? Was it, like, just that? Or was it, like, someone says, hey, get up on stage?
No,
or?
I was always interested in it. Like, I watched Dave Attell as a kid, like, Insomniac. And
Insomniac was a great show because he would go around, like in the middle of the night to, like, all these random places. And he would do, like, amazing stuff with, like, small little venues and everything like that.
I loved like the semi-seediness of it all, and I loved the immediacy of comedy. I enjoyed some of the older crews of SNL. Like can't say that I'm thrilled with it today per se, but now it's all theater kids. No.
Yeah.
It was one of the main reasons why I got into it. And then Cat Williams was a huge inspiration too. I had a bunch of his DVDs when I was a teenager, and I was like, oh man, this guy gets paid to just have a great perm and just say whatever the fuck he wants. Like, that's a career path right there.
The first time I ever saw him was like in the Friday movie where he was like,
he was the pimp.
Pimp, yeah.
Slipback or something like that?
That's Boondocks.
Yes, sorry, I'm confusing my black culture.
Slipback, you gotta say the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm confusing my black culture. Forgive me, Twitter.
Please don't go talk about us, Cat Williams, because we love you so much.
Come on the
podcast.
Kat is shaking the table right now. If you haven't caught up with the interviews and stuff that he's been giving out, he's like, comedy is splitting into two. There's either like the Kat Williams faction, and then there's like the Steve Harvey faction.
Yeah. So tell me, what was the thing that pulled the trigger for you for going to comedy? Was it like, I'm going to go up on stage tonight?
I knew I was always going to do it. It was just basically me like looking for an in of when it would be convenient to start doing so on a regular basis.
And that was the fundraiser at St. John's?
The fundraiser at St. John's. And then I managed to have a really good set. And I was able to use the tape of that to start submitting right to clubs and festivals.
Awesome.
So I got to kind of skip the whole open mic phase a little bit, despite hosting dozens and dozens and dozens,
dozens and hundreds of open mics.
But I didn't feel like I had to like use them as a stepping stone. I just got to use them as like going to the gym.
Yeah,
I'm dying to try stand up. I'm like dying.
We got to get you in sometime. There's plenty of open mics all over the island.
I would recommend once or twice a month, Donald Teachout from the Hop Shop. He hosts something at Hop Shop or sometimes at
that's
the Old
right.
Swiss.
Our friend Claudia, who's a great singer, she goes out there sometimes.
Yeah, and
so we'll all go down there sometime. We're gonna go to the Hop Shop. We'll tape it and we'll put it up here on the podcast. Yeah.
No, it's a lot of fun. And
for the YouTube, not for the regular thing, because I feel like I have to have a exclusives. So you'll be able to see Susie go do stand up, and I'll dust the mic off. I'll do a little something, and then Pauline will do something.
Yeah, another thing that drew me to comedy is that it is still a man's ballpark for the most part, and I'm very much about trying to kick in a couple of windows and see how I can get in there.
And I say this all the time, there are female comedians out there that are absolutely hysterical. You have to look for them. I feel like a lot of comics that are female who people say suck and aren't funny, they're put out there because they have a very good set on making not just women laugh, but also men and couples laugh.
Yeah, but also it's like there's less women in comedy.
There
so
are.
Statistically, you're going to find less funny people. It's like how I went to a co-ed high school and how Farrell had a better football team because they were drawing all football players.
They get scholarships. You can advertise them with better school.
The boys tend to develop into little boys clubs and then little cliques here and there, whereas the women have to kind of for survival, find who's the one that's not going to try to bang me while we're in a writing session.
Exactly.
It's very rarity to find.
It's kind of like a sad story.
Like good luck finding a mentor.
Yeah.
Will you be mine?
Yes.
And that's what I feel like. I definitely
this wasn't geared to be an all-female episode, but I just feel like having females talk about certain things like that were like an important thing that needs to be addressed. Because I feel like I'm not going to sit there and say everyone deserves a voice, because if you suck, you don't deserve a voice.
You already have a voice.
Exactly.
You don't need to foist it upon
other
people.
I believe in skill set determines noticeability and ability to be used. So that's
Star
what I think.
Power.
I don't care if you're white, black, purple, green with freaking polka dots. I don't care. If you're good, you're good. Get used. If you suck, guess what? Go to the wayside.
Go practice.
Yeah. Actually like to say something about that. When I was in San Diego, I auditioned for something in LA. I'm not going to call this person out, but...
I love the butt.
But I went for an audition, and he makes a lot of movies. To this day, he still makes a lot of movies, and he tried to get me on the casting couch.
Ooh.
I learned about the casting couch, and so, of course, I did not take it, and I didn't get the role because I didn't give in to the sexual things that he wanted. And now I see him make movies all the time, and I have never said anything.
You don't have to drop it, but it's somebody that people would recognize and be like, oh, that guy?
He makes a lot of indie... thriller films.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay. All right.
And I auditioned for a role, and he stood next to me, and it was really weird. He stood next to me, and he's like, come stand next to me in the mirror. Let's see what we look like together. And I'm like, is this part of the audition?
Oh, my God. It's so creepy.
And I would name him in the ball sack. Also, it's got to be so annoying. How are you going to fuck your way to the middle?
I know a lot of people who fuck their way to the bottom.
It's one thing if it's something that's in the Oscar category, but
So we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to mention one of our sponsors. Once again, SWA has laid out a little bit of cash for us.
Woo!
SWA is coming up with a next show on April 19th, and here's the ad.
Ladies and gentlemen, SWA Wrestling returns to the Deer Park area at the NYWC Sportatorium, April 19th, for Winner Takes All. In a tag team match that will dictate the pace of SWA in the future for the years to come, we have General Manager Double A making his in-ring debut as he teams with former SWA Pride Champion Pancakes as they take on the duo of Ring King Camacho and Ox. If Ox and Camacho win, they get their contracts back. But if they lose, they are banned from the company for life. Also, the Battle of the Heavyweights take place for the SWA Tag Team Trophy Championship. We have on one side the Team of War versus the other team. Also, as big and mean as they come, the Graveyard Disciples. Winner will get an opportunity down the road for the Trophy Championship. The new SWA Adrenaline Champion, Hunter Grayson, lays out the open challenge to anybody on the SWA roster who thinks that they can take this title away from him. This man is motivated and ready for action on April 19th. And in the main event, we have the SWA Pride Champion, Chris Caden, as he takes on NYWC Champion, Joey Conway. And the winner of this match will walk away with everything. That's right. Both belts go to the man who scores the first pinfall in this match. So, ladies and gentlemen, winner takes all, April 19th. Get your tickets now before they sell out.
And we're back.
Wait, what is SWA?
SWA is a pro wrestling company out in Long Island. Yeah,
okay.
Great
Wonderful.
Place. I know a lot of great talents that are on there. Wink. So
maybe I'll see some of them at WrestleMania.
I'm not saying in the show, but I mean like in the stands. Exactly.
Eating hot dogs together.
So
hey!
Now comes our next topic, the main event for tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about one of our favorite things. My wife is indisposed right now in the bathroom. I don't know why she took this exact moment to do it, but it's okay.
It turns out the bathroom is an escape room. She's working on it right now.
She's trying to escape.
We're going
to
talk about escape rooms. Now, if you don't know what an escape room is, right, okay, babe, let's have a seat. You want to take out? Okay, we're going to tag out here. Gabby, take it. Tag in Susie.
Tag.
Put the headset on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome my beautiful wife, Gabby.
Yes. Hello.
The one cigar. And only,
I'm
waiting
for her to put
Quinn.
The headphones on because apparently she can't hear me across the table. That's why you have headphones. It's awesome. I love it.
I tune you out on purpose.
Yes. So, my beautiful wife, Gabby, the Sagara Quinn.
This is her first time on the show, right?
My first time.
Yeah. Her first time ever being on camera.
Normally. Yes.
Always
in
the background.
Always in the background.
Grab her.
I'm
here. Oh, she's here?
While you guys do this, I'm going to grab her.
All right. Awesome.
She's here.
So, escape rooms. Now, we've done a lot.
We've done them all over the place.
I know.
That's pretty cool.
So the
different states.
If you don't know what escape room is, an escape room usually runs about an hour. That's the time frame that they give you to escape from a room. You're locked in, which you're not. You're actually in a very safe, controlled environment.
Being watched, security cameras.
Exactly, security cameras. People are watching you.
Yeah, you're not really locked out.
Yeah, you're not really locked in. But for a simulation, you're a part of a story that is in that room. So
different themes.
Her friend Marlene is finally here, free from the subway system of Staten Island. Hey, what's up? Come on.
One train and they got to her.
Yeah.
So.
Go ahead. Pull up.
Is she
jumping in? Yeah, we got an extra chair, but yeah, if you want to jump out, go ahead. Yeah.
Come on.
No. You stay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Move the chair. You sit next to Pauline. Hey, go ahead. Marlene, just have a seat.
There we go.
Yeah. Have a seat. Welcome, Marlene, from the cold.
Hello. We'll share.
Yeah. You guys share? Okay, perfect.
Hello.
So unfortunately, we don't have a headset for you because, that's Susie back there. Hi.
We can hear it. Yeah. Everybody can hear each other. So.
Yeah.
Hi, Susie.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about our next subject, which is going to be, you missed the whole first part. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Staten Island did it.
Yeah. It's the trains, goddammit.
It's all right. I was spending half my day trying to find out if Howie Mandel was dead because I saw a death hoax.
Oh, those things are horrible.
I don't get the point. Like, who chose him? Like,
people just do it for likes.
I love you for the diversions from my not being able to be here on time.
It's because we didn't know if he was dead or not.
Yeah, that's all right. So escape room. So, again, escape rooms, you have an hour time limit. You start off in a very basic spot, and it's usually one thread that is unwoven to get you to a whole bunch of clues. And these clues help you escape the room in steps. So it's not a predetermined thing. There's some escape escape rooms out there we found that are like 3 hours long. There are some that are 2 hours long. We've
different levels of difficulty.
Yeah, there's different levels. Yeah.
We've done some that are literally like about an hour. Half an hour. It's amazing. The one we did in, where was that? It was
one
in Jersey.
Staten Island.
That was Jersey.
Ocean City, New Jersey, on the boardwalk. There's a place. The boardwalk. They have like these little half an hour ones, which are really fun, especially if you don't have an hour. That's
so
really
fun. Is it really easy? If it's half an hour?
Speak it to the mic, Mandy. We talked about this.
So you've done a few?
Yeah, we've done a lot.
I've only done like two or three, but one of them was like the first one I ever did. I was.
And remember, you can't give it away because we don't give away the actual things.
I don't
remember
what it was. It was disco themed, and I was high.
Was that here on the island?
I was high off edibles, and I'm telling you, when I tell you I was the handicap of this group, like I gave them nothing. Like, I was just moving records around and dancing.
Like, what do I do with these things? Like Pauline, that's not part of the puzzle. It says don't rip that off the wall.
I was like, I hope they don't realize that I'm like making it worse. Like,
Pauline's like half naked. Like, I took my pants off. What do we do next? No, Pauline, this is not part of the room.
I'm on Quaaludes and I
like,
can't
I found this
out.
Troll in the corner right here. It's like, no, Pauline. What troll? What are you talking about?
They're like trying to do Sudoku and I'm like, where is the. Never mind.
So there are themes to them. Like, we've done some. I'm going to say this. Our favorite one, unfortunately, it burnt down, which really sucked.
Escaped itself. Yeah. That's the ultimate escape room.
Hopefully, everyone escaped.
Itself imploded.
It was a twister one. The twister one. So you're basically, you start off in a house and it's beautifully made. It's like an actual, it's like almost like the studio almost. It has a kitchen, it has an oven, and you got to solve these little puzzles. And then you go outside and then you go to the barn and then you go to the cornfield and then you go to the stable.
That's very demanding.
Yeah.
So they made the outside. Well, they made the outside.
It's all inside.
The inside look outside.
Yeah.
So it's like the outside of the house.
Yeah. Okay. It was inside of one. The other one that we did was really cool. Was a zombie one. That one I really liked a lot. Where we had to like, it was in the dark. And we had a lantern.
Oh yes, that was that the one.
And you had to escape the zombies, or are they trying to get out too?
Well, you had to get out before the zombies ate you. Quotation marks in case you guys.
What happens if they do?
You die.
You die. That's it.
They actually have zombies in the basement, and then they let them go.
You got to live with that.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Just remember, in a zombie apocalypse, you don't have to be the fastest one. You have to be the best kicker. That's it. Chapow! Knee strike.
How long is that one?
That one's only an hour.
It's an hour, yeah.
Typically, they're an hour.
Who tips off the zombies? I don't
Are there baby
guy.
Zombies? I think I saw Donald
There actually
Dead
was.
And there was
there
a
actually
baby.
Was a little baby, remember?
Yeah, was
there was a clone in order to get out.
Movie.
There was a part where it was actually like a
that
baby.
Was the baby's room.
Yeah, the baby's room. You had to get out in a baby. They actually had a baby zombie.
Yo, I believe in like post-term abortion now.
Yeah. We did one recently after the last podcast, third episode we did, and we went to a beautiful one. That was underwater. I can't give away too much. Yeah, that was cool.
Submarine, right?
Yeah. So we were in a deep sea lab, basically, and you had to like find like this like genetic thing that was being done. And the way that they had it done, in order to get out, there was a very complex sequence where you actually work something to make something happen.
It's almost
vague.
It was like a video game.
It was like a video game, basically.
Okay. That makes more sense to me. Because the rules to these things, I want to know who makes them up. Because
it's the people who design them, really.
I know, but
anything on the show, like I guess I always say, like the nerdiest thing I like to do, because people hear escape rooms and think, oh, that's really lame, blah, blah, blah.
Use your brain.
It's very complex in the things that you have to do. These puzzles aren't just like put a circle inside the circle.
Right.
You have to actually solve puzzles. You have to have like common sense in order to do this stuff, and
certain things are more. It's like yes, it's common sense, but you wouldn't think of it.
No.
Like there was like, for example, a picture on the wall.
Yeah,
that was part of the puzzle.
Yeah, the part of the puzzle.
None of us even looked at the painting.
Now, if you do get stuck in a certain part of the room, you're allowed three clues. That's usually the typical rule.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happens is you get three clues. What happens is that you have the ability to talk to the person who's running this room. Hmm. And they always have someone who guides you on top of you.
The domain master.
Exactly. Yeah. Basically a dungeon master, if you would. And they give you like very not on the nose clues on how to get out of stuff, but it gives you a general direction because sometimes some things don't, your brain doesn't align to things.
Can you partner with other, like, can you?
Yeah, no, it's you as a group usually. You show up with either a group like for a birthday party or like they'll team you up like
I'm
you
taking
and someone.
Exactly a point
I'm
I want.
Taking someone who just got out of Sing Sing.
Into the mic, babe. Into the mic.
Take like the ultimate escape. Yeah.
Normally,
take Chris Angel.
Normally, when we go, we only go the two of us because we've done this before. We've gone with just me and him, and it works very well with me and him. and we've gone with a group of like six. It's too confusing with a group of six.
It's now, too confusing because nobody knows what the hell. Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yes,
we had
exactly.
that problem when we did the escape room. And the only reason why I say this is that the people that we were with, they were all
what
like.
What were there, like eight of us?
There was like
one?
Eight of us. We still solved it. We still got out. Okay. But the problem was that, and again, they were good people. I'm pretty sure they're watching. Hi, guys. I didn't want to tell you anything, but I'm really good at escape rooms. So I shut my mouth. I let all the people do whatever it was. And you saw me. I was just like, hey, okay. And people got stuck on things. And I was like, all right, let everyone have a turn. Because when you do it with people that you don't know, it's very complex because you don't realize.
You don't know their body language.
Yeah. Not even body language. It's a team aspect. So you have to, with me, if you do an escape room, here's a little trick that we did. If you have a team of six, you split up into two teams. One person is the captain of one team. Another person's a captain for another team. And then you all work together
this
on
is
how
too
to.
Much politics. Like, I just want to go pee. Like,
why did I pee before I got in this room?
I feel so bad. I was so bad at the escape rooms. Like, it was, so one of them was, like what we said, it was the disco one. And then I forget, yeah. I can't even remember what the second one was. It was something I think.
It was the Valium room.
Which one? Yes. Yeah, so well, all I know is that whatever it was, like, I didn't guess anything, and I'm like, I saw the disappointment, like, on the person, the game master's
awesome.
Face, like, where I was like, as if like I failed their child, like I didn't know how to.
Now again, when it comes to like, there's two different aspects. Like, I like to give out hints on how to do escape rooms. So from our experience that we all have done them, is the fact that you have.
Just
random
say you
people.
Have a gun. No.
it's random people versus people that you know. When you have people that you know, you can kind of work better with together. You can tell somebody what to do without whatever. When we did that, I was very afraid to tell people what to do because they were very gung-ho about stuff. But they kept getting stuck on certain things.
Oh, you wanted to guide them better?
Yeah, I was like, I kind of see how this happens. And people are like, no, this happens. I was like, guys, listen, I understand how this works. Like, this is a decipher code, so...
You know someone takes it serious when they bring, like, a notepad.
Yeah, this guy brought a notepad. Good guy. Thank you. No. We would not have gotten out if it wasn't for that notepad. I don't know this dude's name, but thank you so much for that notepad. Dude, you were the VIP, the MVP of everything on that one.
The hall monitor.
Yeah. Nerd and then some.
The one girl, she accidentally cut her finger. The guy dropped something. The guy she was with accidentally dropped something on her finger. And she's like,
I'm bleeding.
And we're like... The first 3 seconds, I'm not even kidding. We walked in and she's like, I'm bleeding. And I was like,
oh God.
Then there's always, I noticed a couple of times that I've done one, that there's always somebody that like actually probably shouldn't be doing something like this because they have claustrophobia or like they take it too seriously and they start getting actually upset. And
right.
I'm like,
they're
yo,
like,
we're
oh
going
no, this
to
is
Chili's
exactly
after
what they
this.
Told me
like,
it was going to be.
Yeah. That happened with me. I went to a place in Boston and it's called the Escapeology up in Boston. Great place. They have some great
leaving
rooms.
My last relationship.
So what happens is that you have, they had like a whole bunch and there was a room next to us that we didn't do. What happened was that this person basically freaked out and left because they were like so claustrophobic. They got in there and there was a spot. It's you had to crawl after a certain sequence of things. You had to crawl and they were like, I'm not doing this. I'm
if
getting
you're
out.
If you're not a fireman, then no.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Who's a fireman? I don't know anybody who's a fireman.
I don't know anybody.
I mean, the one we did, the twisted one, you had to crawl out.
Yeah, we had to crawl out. That would have freaked somebody out.
That
would have definitely freaked somebody out.
There was a crawl space that you literally had to crawl under like the house.
What was your, Marlenius, what was your favorite escape room that you ever did?
Well, I can tell you my least favorite one, and that is life.
You're doing a great job. You're going to get there one day.
I don't do escape rooms because it's like they don't give you Valium. They don't give you Xanax. Like, life is an escape room.
Any room with three or more male comics.
Exactly. Really bad ones, too, by the way. I like to point
not
that
even
out.
The bad ones. Sometimes the ones that just want to talk about, like, you want to hear my new bits?
Yeah, that's
no.
why I'm the notebook
They slip it into every conversation. Oh, hi, I'm Ted go screw myself. How you doing? You ever notice how teachers don't know anything without the books? Dude, we're at a bar. What are you talking about? It's like, no, I find it funny. They don't know anything. And then they start going to the material. I've had that happen to me before with male and female comics. They go into the material, and it's really stupid.
I'd be like, please stop mouth breathing. Just please.
One thing that we did that was really fun was, what's it called? The last one we did. The Scooby-Doo. They had a Scooby-Doo escape room.
We did Scooby-Doo, yes.
Yeah.
I heard about that. I heard that
solve a mystery?
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Where was that?
In Jersey.
It was right over the bridge in Jersey.
Yeah.
I want to do like one that's like Batman's parents.
I know, right? At the end, you know what's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm like, I don't know.
I wonder how we're escaping.
That would be cool.
I don't
like,
know what
Scarecrow does it.
I'm pretty sure that's just a grave site.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just a crime scene, an alleyway.
So The thing about escape rooms that people really kind of don't understand is that, like, there's a lot of different mechanisms that make these things happen. I haven't illustrated that point properly. I feel like there's certain things that you have to know. It's the cipher codes where they give you something and people think, like, I only have this. This needs more. You have to find more things and open up locks. Locks also have different sets of combinations. They have number combinations, letter combinations,
shapes,
colors.
You got the key ones.
Yeah, there's certain things about escape rooms that was really fun. Was the comic one? Remember that Superhero Alley?
Yeah, the Superhero
that was
Alley.
Really the first one we ever did together.
That one was really fun. Was very interesting.
It was by the mall. I think they shut down, unfortunately.
And you have to draw a picture and say bang.
No, what happened was that, like, you had to, like, get through a phone book.
It was very hands-on, and they had very cool, like hidden doors and stuff.
Yeah. So what happened was that they had pictures, and the thing was there were switches, and it's close, I can talk about it. There were switches, and the pictures were upside down, so you had to match the switches to what was down versus up. There was a phone that you pick up, and a lot of them have a very intricate electronic devices in them. It has a phone where you had to press like a certain number that was a code that you thought was a code for a lock. And then it opens up the door, and then...
Gun compartment.
No, but the door opens up, and it's like, this is the way out. It's like, ha-ha, psych, the Joker. You know what I mean?
Up to a brick wall.
Yeah, it opens up to a brick wall. Oh. So there's other things in escape rooms that are really fun that there's red herrings. So not everything is exactly...
Well, that's
it's not something to throw you off to.
Yeah, exactly. It's not supposed to let you get away with it easily, or else you wouldn't have to escape.
Exactly. So what happens is they'll put you not really something that is going to deter you from going to the course, but it gives you a lot of something, so you have to focus your energy and focusing on certain parts.
Do you know the origin story of escape rooms?
It came about out of nowhere. Like,
no one really. That's an investigation.
Or after COVID.
It was before COVID. It was definitely before COVID.
Saw.
There you go. That's where they're from. Yeah.
Late 2000s.
It's like Diet Saw.
I'll tell you one thing that I'm pissed about. And when I was in marketing in college in 2007-8 or whatever, I did a whole thing about rage rooms. Like, I thought I'd came up with the concept for that, and then I marketed it, and then I presented it as a mini thesis, and I never copyrighted.
What, like breaking things in a room or something like that?
And then it became like a huge thing. A few years later, it was very mainstream, and I was like, I should have got it in.
Should have put paperwork on this.
When you guys do the escape rooms by yourselves, do you guys normally win or lose?
Yeah,
I lose.
I mean, high five to my baby. High five to my baby. Boop. You know what I'm saying? We're pretty good. We have a very impressive.
We have a high escape.
Yeah.
Is there a one person version of the game? Is that allowed?
I'm pretty sure there are. I'm surprised there aren't out there. But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I feel like it's not a money making machine if you don't have one person, because it's like you would have to charge a little bit extra. Like, escape rooms are usually about like
four people.
30. Well, no.
$25 to $30.
And if you come back a lot, they will let you do all of them for like a discounted price if you talk to them.
Are they hiring?
Yes, there are. Escapology in Jersey. If you're looking for a job, go check out Escapology.
Don't listen to him. It's my job now.
No, I mean, no.
They're not. They took the sign down.
I'm sorry. I did alcohol before. I don't know what I'm talking about. The most important thing about escape rooms also is that it's a team thing. And a lot of people do them. Instead of taking someone to a bar, instead of taking someone to dinner, listen, have a more inventive first date.
Take our date to an escape room and be like, baby, the rest of the relationship is just as bad as that.
Exactly. Exactly. Because if she can't have fun or he can't have fun, they're not a good person. Listen, have someone who's able to step out the box from a normal.
It's interesting. If you see how good she's able to go through all like switches and like switchboard, like she's going to go through all your shit.
Exactly.
Right, you won't be able to get away with anything.
No, but I like it because, like, I feel like it's a good step outside.
It's something different than rather doing the norm.
Yeah.
Plus, using our brain for once.
Yeah. Exactly. What was your favorite escape room that you ever did?
I can't remember the name of it, but I remember there was a specific room where it was like laser beamed, and you had to like crawl through it. It was really cool, but I can't remember like the theme.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
So if you want, email us at thenerdbadgepodcast@yahoo.com and tell us your favorite escape room that you would like us to go to here in the tri-state area.
I'm sorry. Can you say what email address that was again?
The Nerd Badge Podcast
Nerd Badge, the Nerd Badge podcast.
Yahoo.com. And you tell us which one to go to, and we'll do another episode on this because there's so many stuff that we didn't hit on. So there's a lot of stuff that I really feel like we didn't hit on.
I want to go to an escape room that lets you know who really killed JFK.
Oh, I want to go to escape room. I want to go to escape room where you have to stop. What's it called? What's his name? Jeffrey Epstein from killing himself. But anyway, he just kills himself anyway.
Oh, okay. Like he's just hell bent on finding a method. He's gonna find something.
He's dead. Sorry, it's like he died like 2 years ago. So
that's like celebrity deathmatch.
Yeah, I love it. So yeah, I would love to see now. I would love to see an escape room. I want everyone to do this. Give me one escape room that you want to see. I'll start off first. Ready? Very simple. Boom. I want to see a wrestling escape room.
Of course.
Of course you do.
Randy K. Orton out of nowhere.
Mandy, give me an escape room that you would love to do.
I don't know. Come back to me.
Yo, give me a theme. Give me a theme right now. Something that you like that you would think would be very well done to be entertaining.
Escaping Scientology.
Yes, exactly. That's a real one. Tom Cruise.
They won't let me join. I walk into the buildings. They don't. They ignore me.
Like, they have your picture up front.
But it's like the picture of you when I took you to that night to that one place where you locked yourself in the bathroom. And you're just like,
probably, yeah.
Mandy, give me one. Just give me one. Boy. Something, a movie, anything that you would love to see in an escape room. Anything, any form of media. Hold on, Susie. We'll get to you. Put your goddamn hand down.
I can't think of any.
Cat lady.
That'd be fun.
That'd be cute.
It'd be just a whole bunch of little cats all over the place. Mandy, come on. Come up with anything that you think would be funny.
I don't know. Come on. Come back to me.
Okay.
Escaping student loans.
Marlenus.
Yes. I'm going to be a little bit darker.
Give me. Ooh. Give me dark. I would like adult.
I think, right? Because when I think escape room, I'm like, if you're going to do it, go all the way in. Like, when I saw Schindler's List, I was like, I would be a shit kid.
Wow. Yes. That was a real escape room.
That was a real not escape room.
Exactly.
That was a room, you know, so I was a child being like, I would be in the shit. You know, the kids were in the loo.
Oh, what about Building 7?
Building 7.
That would be a 30-minute one. That dark. Would be a 30-minute one.
Give me something more lighthearted. Give me something more lighthearted.
How is that not more lighthearted?
I don't know.
A TV show, a movie.
Let's see. 300, because I want to find out how gay were those Spartans.
Yeah.
Being like a wife, you had to shave your head, supposedly,
you
like your wedding night.
Yeah. All right, Susie, get over here. Climb up in the scene, all right? No, just stay there. She'll just talk into the mic. Come on, Susie, get here.
Or like a moon landing
one. Susie, give me one.
Whoever can fake the better moon landing.
Actually, DJ had a good one. He said Ninja Turtles. Ooh.
Oh,
yeah.
That's DJ. That guy's pizza at the end.
I would like to say, where's Waldo? Where the goal is to find Waldo.
Yes. That would be complex.
Plot twist. He's that not lost.
Be. Yeah. Plot twist. Like you're Waldo the entire time.
That's pretty much Clue, but with a striped shirt.
But
on
that would be awesome. A Clue escape room. A Clue escape room.
I like that. Like,
yeah, but you're all in the same room. You can't be like, oh,
no.
With the this.
Well, here's the thing. When it comes to escape rooms, you are compartmentalized. Like, you can sit there and, like, put people in different parts of the room.
That movie, Knives Out, kind of seemed like
that would be
like
a good theme.
I want to know more about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
We would have pizza. April O'Neil would be there reporting. Master Splinter would be in
charge. That would be the person on the computer, because, like, you always start off with, like, instructions. They give you whatever. April O'Neil here, live on the scene. That's my April O'Neil impression.
They don't want to escape that room. That's why I'm like,
you have to get out of the Technodrome, I guess, or something like that.
Nah, they got to fucking, if Krang is in it.
Krang would be awesome. No. That's what I'm saying. You got to get out of Dimension X.
We could market to the woo-woo astrology girls and tell them that they have to escape room with all of their former soul ties.
True story. You know what you can do? Here's a good one.
How are you going to break them?
Here's a good escape room you got to do. What's it called? Damn it. I just had it on the tip of my tongue. I forgot. I'm an idiot.
Escaping Cardi B back when she was in her like drug and,
oh, God,
and
yeah.
stealing days. God. Now this is not a knock to Cardi B. That's dope. She was hustling.
They had
shitty watches on. It was their fault.
Oh man, there's so many good ones you could do. But
what about escaping Australian wildlife?
Yes, that place. Everything is trying to kill you there.
Man, escaping Drake's career.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Actually, Drake plays his own escape room every time he has like
feel someone over.
Because
yeah.
he has to put hot sauce in his condoms.
Escaping R. Kelly.
That was a real.
That actually, now it is Diddy. Oh my god.
It is Diddy, right?
So much trouble.
Diddy, I'm so pissed at Diddy because he's ruining fur coats for me.
I know, right? No one can wear fur coats anymore, especially you.
I'm, please, I'm still wearing.
You're keeping that market alive.
I'm the new P. Diddy.
But Pauline
no,
Diddy.
No, no butt sex Dead for kid. The Frosted Flakes over here.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
No, is it over already?
We're done already.
We're done.
Yeah, we whistled for an hour. We escaped all this right. one.
Yeah, exactly. So, as I've been promising every single time, so whenever we have new guests on, they get a little something something.
Uh-oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, your own official nerd badges.
Yay! Whoa. I have a badge. Oh, my God, and they're actually, like,
iron-on. Iron-on. There you go. Guess who gets one for being on the show, finally?
Yeah.
There we go.
You denied your wife.
I already gave you one.
He denied me.
Because you weren't here last time.
I've been on the show, like, three times already.
I know. I finally got them. That's why. I got them last time. I gave one to Susie and RJ. So, to our special guest, Marlenis. Pauline, woo-hoo. My wife, woo-hoo. our part-time co-host, Susie, jump in the shot. Come,
yes,
in,
yes.
I guess. Wait, stay there. I don't know what we're doing here with the shot. There we go.
Yay.
Ladies and gentlemen, our episode is complete. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spending an hour with us. Remember, we're going to put up some really cool stuff on the YouTube page. We're going to find something to do with the whole what's it called thing. Open mic. We're going to try and find out what that is, and I'll put something up on YouTube. The front front row section is when I interview pro wrestlers at wrestling shows that I go to. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up. I'm going to be posting up interviews. Well, they are episodes because they're our own thing. I'm going to put up interviews that I caught with a lot of great people at the big event. WrestleCon is coming up May 18th and 19th. I won't be there the 19th because me and my wife are going on a cruise. Woo. And the 18th, I'll be there. I'm going to try and get as many more interviews that I can. Whoever's lucky enough to be on the podcast or I'm lucky enough to get on the podcast. I do quick little interviews. It's a great thing. So, ladies and gentlemen, for everyone here, we did it.
Yes! Wait,
we're done! Episode 5!
You don't get to be like, hi, follow me. Follow me, a whiskey burrito.
I think that was the first
All right,
one.
I'm plugging
wait
myself.
Wait, sorry, hold up. Before we go, yes, everyone plug your socials. Pauline,
okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, hi, I'm Pauline Murphy, and you can follow me @whiskeyburrito. It's one word, and it's spelled the American way, not the Canadian way. Fuck you, Ryan Reynolds, go back to work.
Yeah, flappy little heads with the beady little eyes. Marlenis, give me your socials.
Hi, thank you. I'm Marlenis. I am at really though. Which is RILLITHO, really though. On Instagram, you know.
Everything. We'll put it all up. I'll get it from you later. My wife, she has socials, but don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Mandy, she got the socials, but she's
you
not
don't
doing
need
anything.
To know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Susie, give me your socials. I know you have it before, but.
So I am Susie Zeiser on Facebook, and then I'm Ukrainka, UKRAINKA _DAMA Dama on Instagram.
I'll put it up for everybody. Don't worry about it. We're going to spell it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we did it!
Woo!
We're done, episode 5! Finally, I got to watch socials! I screwed up. Damn it! We're done! Wrap it! Cut the gate! And that's it.